Okay, good morning. Good morning, Reen. Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk here. Well, so you have just heard from Peter about Reen's many accomplishments, and they spent all parts of soil physics videos on hydrology, but I want to focus only on one area, and that's the area which I myself considered always the more important, because, well, first of all, it was close to what I've been doing, and second, I believe that all the other developments which Reen actually did was to support this work, and that was the numerical modeling. So Reen was not only developing these various new numerical algorithms, schemes, numerical models, but he was also applying these models to many different types of data sets. He exerted, as we have heard, a lot of effort in distributing these models to the public, and he, in the last two decades, he spent a lot of time educating people how to use these models. And so this is the outline. So I briefly mentioned some of these numerical algorithms, some of the models, and then spend most of the time on Reen's outreach work. So on this first slide, which you probably cannot read, but what I did here, I copied from Reen's CVs, his earliest publications, and then I highlighted in red those which are very highly cited, and each of them has several hundreds of citations. And then I highlighted in blue publications which are directly related to numerical modeling. And although the papers in blue, or I call them blue papers, they have fewer citations than the red ones, you can see from this that the numerical modeling was always at the center of Reen's attention, and not to mention that the models developed in the blue papers were often used in the red papers. The really first publications which I found, and which was not actually on the Reen's list, is this report, which he published with Pete Wieringa. And in his report, he described his first numerical model, one-dimensional model of solute transport in porous media. And probably why it's not on Reen's list is that the underlying technology may not be anymore available, because it was based on some special IBM program, I believe, or language. And so that's the oldest numerical model that Reen developed, and it was used in his first papers, I believe. In his early work, Reen was working on developing the numerical models using either linear or Hermitian finite elements. And the special feature of the Hermitian finite elements is that the unknowns are not only the nodal values of particular variables, but also their derivatives, and that has some advantages. It allows to use coarser discretization, but it has one big disadvantage. It's very complex, and it's difficult to understand these models. You can see here the comparison of these two approaches. So here you have only one function, has unit value at one node and zero everywhere else. Here you have two functions for each node. One function has a unit value at one node and zero gradient here, and zero values and gradients everywhere else. And the second function has zero values at both sides, but as a unit gradient here, and zero everywhere else. And you see some publications in which this was used. In 2D, it's pretty similar. Again, one function with the unit value and zero gradients, and other functions with zero values, and so on. The second topic which Reen worked on were various dispersion-corrected numerical schemes. The main problem with the finite differences is that they are only first order correct, but the second, third, and fourth order correct schemes can be developed by correcting the dispersion coefficient, and Reen was working on this and had a few papers on this topic as well. For me personally, by far the most influential work of Reen was this work on Sumatra. So it was this Sumatra program. What was typical for Reen was that he always documented, and Peter mentioned that, in great detail his work, and then he shared this documentation with anyone who was interested in that. And so in this publication, he provided a detailed derivation of various numerical schemes from finite differences, linear finite element, mass lump finite elements, Hermitian finite elements, etc. And So even the people who were not familiar with these techniques or who didn't know them then could use these equations which were given in that report and write their own numerical models. And I have spent many hours actually going through these derivations and trying to derive these equations and put them into model. And similar equations for other numerical schemes which were published in that report. What was also common that in addition to the documentation of these programs, there was also a very, there was always also a complete list of these programs itself. And here you can see on this, if you can see that, that this was typically written in Fortran 4. So you see a lot of these number references, lots of go-to statements. And so it was actually not easy to understand these programs. But let me give you some historical perspective. When Rhin wrote his first version of Sumatra, so I was still in the high school in the Czech Republic. And then when I was at the university, I studied the civil engineering. So in my last year, I took a course on pedohydrology, which is hydropedology, which is a popular topic today. I was taught by Kutilek. And during that course, I heard a lot of names like Hillel and Parlanch and Haferkamp, but I never heard the name Fangenuchten in that course. So when I graduated from university in 1984, after most of your publications, most influential publications were published, I didn't know that name, right? And the same year, I had to go to the military because we had a compulsory military service. And during that 1 year, the three people from America came. Two of them are here, Rhin and Peter Wieringa, and they gave lessons in Prague. And I unfortunately didn't meet them at that year because I was locked up in the barracks. But when I came back to the real world, I have found this. So that's a box of punch cards which has the Sumatra program on that. And I don't know whether you guys actually brought the punch card with you or you mailed it to Milena after your trip or somebody punched that. But my first task in my first job was to make this program work. And so for those who are not familiar with the punch card or who didn't do modeling in that era, so this is how punch card looks like. And because of some restrictions by IBM card leader, you could use only first 72 columns, and the remaining columns were used for different purposes. So you could use them for identifications, numbering of the cards, to have them in the right orders if they were dropped, so you could put them back again in the right order. And I believe that our set of punch cards didn't have these identifications, and somebody must have dropped them because we never made that program work. Although Peter was saying that they always worked. And so that was really our beginning of doing the numerical modeling, and Rhin's Sumatra documentation was our main source of information about how to write the numerical models. This is the reference to the Sumatra 2 program, which was based on these Hermitian finite elements. I don't think that this was actually published officially, right? It was only an unofficial publication. The next program, which was quite influential and which Rhin developed with Jan Kuhl and Jack Parker, was the program OneStep. And this program allowed you to analyze laboratory data collecting during the one-step outflow experiment. This was a hugely influential program because it was the first program which was parameter estimation program which was based on coupling of the Marquardt-Levenberg nonlinear optimization scheme which Peter was talking about with the numerical solution of the Richards equation. And here you can see how the computers look like at that time. Later, Rhin developed another program, which was called WORM, which I believe the most important thing about WORM was that Rhin actually abandoned those complicated Hermitian finite elements, and he started using linear finite elements. Then he also developed in this model, he expanded the FEDES stress response function to include osmotic potential and a lot of other developments. And there were several, I believe, versions of WORM. Gerrit Roy also worked on one of these, who's here. And then in 1991, Rhin, again with Jan Kuhl, released what I believed always was the first version of the HYDRIS model, although it's called version 3.3, and I have no idea how that came up with, that version 3.3. And so that was in 1991. And at that same time, I joined the Scientity Lab and then worked for several years. And in the next few years, we released several two-dimensional, three-dimensional models which simulated waterfall solute transport. And all that development then finally led to the Windows-based HYDRIS program, which I hope you are familiar with. Okay, I wanted first to talk also about the applications, but then I decided not to talk about them because there were so many. I was lucky enough that I was in 90s and at the beginning of this decade in Salinity Laboratory. Salinity Laboratory became something as a pilgrimage place where basically tens of people and maybe hundreds of people were coming, and then they were using Rhin's models and trying to analyze or make sense of their data. And so there are hundreds of applications, and so I will not discuss them. So there are some conventional ones, as you see here, but also some rather bizarre ones. And here I erred on the bizarre side. Well, because Rhin was working in different eras of computing, so also the distributions of his models changed quite dramatically. So I already mentioned initially we started with the, well, Rhin started with the punch cards. Then his models, such as One Step and Worm, were distributed on these 5 1/4-inch diskettes. And finally, these 3 1/2-inch floppy disks were used to distribute the first versions of HYDRIS and so on. And then finally, in late 90s, when CD-ROMs came, we could suddenly put all Rhin's programs and reports and publications on one single CD-ROM. There are some internal documents at Salinity Labs which show that over 25,000 copies or mailings of these different types of media were made all around the world, which is an amazing number. Oh, okay, so I pushed something wrong. How was that moving before, forward?
I don't know what
we're doing. Cannot locate internet, so.
Okay,
and well, now with the wide access to broadband, we started distributing Rhin's models using the website. Okay, well, not less important than all this really scientific work was Rhin's effort in the last two decades to educate people on how to use his theories and how to use his programs. And so what you see here on this slide is that he organized over 50 short courses in 13 countries, in 5 continents, 7 US states. And these short courses were attended by over 1,000 participants. And I will finish my talk by showing some pictures from these short courses. And I have to say I was lucky enough to be taken along on many of these trips. So one of the first courses and one of the more memorable ones were organized by Keith Bristow, I don't know if he's here, and Jan Hopmans. And that was at the Magnetic Island in the Great Barrier Reef off the east coast of Australia. Then Rhin traveled, I believe, 7 or 8 times to Hanover in Germany to organize, where the short courses were organized by Rhin van der Ploegt and then Jörg Bachmann. We also went once to Lisbon in Portugal. We often joke that we felt like 2 missionaries, being, you see, dressed smartly and spreading the revealed truth. And I'm saying about hydrosing will make you stronger. So then this is the picture from Poços de Caldas in Brazil. So I call this a fateful trip because the lady sitting here in the front row now sits next to Rhin here. And then we had to use some unorthodox means of transportation. So this is from Xinjiang in China. So that's between Afghanistan and Kazakhstan. So, you know, it's a complicated country there. And even our military has trouble to pacify that. So you need to use their means of transportation. He went several times to Hawaii, another exotic place. But I have to say that he didn't go only to exotic places. He also, here you can see him in action in one of the least exotic places you can imagine. in Fresno, Central Valley of California. And that, and yeah, that's all what I have. So thank you, Rhin. Thank you for a great ride. Thank you.